I would like to read a psalm word, namely from Psalm 90, right from verse 1. Here it says, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. That's how it says here in the heading. And then let us hear what this man of God expresses here. I think the words are glorious. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as a sleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourishes and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they may be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. These are the words that this man of God is said to have spoken. On the other hand, we see that it is a great grace that such a word has been preserved for us. God has preserved it through the decades or thousands of years, so that we can read it today, so that we can reflect on it, and we can indeed say what this man of God has said here. O Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. And we can say, not only from generation to generation, but from day to day, from hour to hour, from moment to moment. Yes, He is our refuge. To whom should we go? We know that everything passes by Him. Even our thoughts are not hidden from him. Everything is exposed before him. Everything lies open before him. And I had to think about it. We had been in Israel, and everywhere in the places where our forefathers, our brothers in faith, the prophets have walked, where the Lord has walked. And I said to my wife today, you know, we have been everywhere in those places, but nobody has been there. They have all gone. And you can only say, here they walked, and here they were, but they are not in this place now. It is only a place of remembrance. Like us, when we leave here, then perhaps it will be said, here Brother Russ sat, there Brother Frank sat, there Brother Schmidt sat, there this one and that one sat. We know that this world is not our home. It is not our permanent place. It is only a temporary place. And so we visited these places and thought, my God, how everything has become like this. How right is everything before our eyes. Nothing is wrong. Everything is right. He has everything in his hands. And so, we want to remember that our days are also numbered, and that our hour comes also when we have to go. But as we have already sung in the song, and one day at the end of my course, the heavens will be opened to me. And you know, dear brothers and sisters, even these men, an Abraham, he waited for a city that God would build. He waited eagerly for it. And we know one thing, he waited for it. And you know, the Lord came. And what did he say? He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And I will come again to take you unto myself. Oh, that is something wonderful. Dear brothers and sisters, and so we may say, in faith, we are waiting to be there soon. Well, we may say, we are still young, but let us remember, the days fly by. They go by so fast. And you get older, and you are already thinking every day, when will it be? When will you take me into your glory? Brothers and sisters, I think we are waiting for his appearing. We are waiting to be taken home. And the wonderful thing is that we can give glory to our God, and that we keep his word faithfully and take it to heart and believe it and trust in it, because we know very soon we will be there. I would like to say again, and one day, at the end of my course, heaven will be open to me. Oh, this certainty must live in our hearts. Yes, it must be there. And I think, dear brothers and sisters, and all of you who have come, we all have this in our hearts. Otherwise, we would not be here together. We could go somewhere else to enjoy ourselves according to the flesh. But we come here to serve God, nothing else. You know, to bring him glory and also to hear what he has to say to us. And we have already heard precious words. And it's worth pondering. It's worth thinking about. Because you know, you don't have to grow old. Sometimes it is the case that even young people are taken. Yes, how quickly can it happen? Yes, may the faithful God bless us this evening too. I believe most certainly those who have come and believe will carry away the blessing. Here it says in the song, "You crowned head of your children, show yourself without covering to everyone who believes." Do we believe that or do we not believe it? He will show himself to everyone who believes. When? Today? Tomorrow? Today. Tonight. He wants to show himself to everyone. Walk in the ranks of your own here, that everyone may feel you near. Oh yes. And then we can't help but say, "Glory to you, Jesus alone. Glory to you, Jesus alone." Oh, brothers and sisters, there is great joy in my heart that I may serve this living God. And I think it will be a joy in your heart too. We may have to go through many tribulations in these days. But we know that even Moses, if we have heard it rightly here, there have been days of gloom. Yes, days of burden and tribulation. But he looked to the living God. And this is shown to us in this word, that we too should put our trust in him. Dear brothers and sisters, God will certainly bless us. I must say, he has already blessed me. He is present. He is near also tonight. And for that, we are very happy and very grateful. Amen. Praise and thanks be to the Lord that we too can be here together in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. Here, the heroes of faith are listed. And often enough, the contexts are mentioned where God confessed to them because they believed and trusted him totally. These things are written to show us the path we have to walk with God. It is a path of faith. And on that path of faith, we can behold the glory of God. And when we read all that men of God have done and experienced, we get great courage and joyfulness because we know that God's promises remain. They do not waver forever. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promises in the word, as the song goes. And if the men of the Old Testament, and that is what we are talking about here, if they experienced such blessings and so many things with God, when we then read the New Testament, then it was a blessing without cessation. God revealed himself among his own, but only where he was believed and trusted. Not only believing in him, but to believe him. Many believe in God, but they do not believe God. Do you get the difference? It is very simple if we know the German language. Believing in God is one thing, But believing what God has said is quite another. It is actually said of the devil that he also believes in God and trembles. You can read about it in James. He believes in God, but he does not believe what God has said. Absolutely not. We, as children of God, don't just believe in God. We believe what God has said in His Word. And our faith is anchored in that. Our brothers have emphasized it. I actually noticed in the word of introduction, and I had to ask myself the question, how does the man of God come to it? To put a prayer of Moses in the middle of the Psalms. Was he there when Moses prayed like that? Was he listening? Did he copy it or read it somewhere? Suddenly it says here in the middle of the Psalms, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. How wonderful is God in all His doings. There are men sitting under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hundreds of years later, receiving word for word and sentence for sentence through the Spirit what had been given to a Moses at that time through the same Spirit. God does not change. We too can receive, hear, and take in by the same Spirit of God the same things that men of God uttered. There may be thousands of years in between. The Word of the Lord is and remains true, and so does God in all that He does. I, for my part, am very thankful that we have the great privilege of reading Brother Branham's sermons. Already another new one has come out, which will be sent out on Tuesday. We have concentrated all our efforts on passing on as far as possible what has been given directly under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit according to the Divine Commission. And then we have spiritual food. When we come together to have fellowship with God, to have fellowship with each other, to be built up, to strengthen and comfort each other with the Word of God. But the direct message that has been brought by the messenger, and it is necessary that we listen to it, that we read it, that we delve into it, and if possible, to stop at each paragraph and ask the Lord what He specifically wants to say to us through it. Because these sermons in particular are just so important and give information about everything. You know, we live in a time when everyone wants to know and do something. But we have to come to the point where we leave everything to God, because He knows the end before the beginning. And if we trust Him completely, then He will bring us through to the end. We as human beings may start a thing and then have to give up at some point. But God has never given up on anything. You know, when He sent Moses to Pharaoh, sometimes it looked very hopeless. Moses throws down his rod and it becomes a serpent. Jannes and Jambres come, the magicians throw down their rods and they too become serpents. Moses could have thought at that moment, oh my God, now you have sent me here to do all this And here come people, strange men. I don't know them, you don't know them, and they do the same thing. He could have confronted God and asked, Lord, why still all this trouble? Not only Pharaoh and all that what I have to deal with. Now they are next to me, in front of me, and yet they have basically been the enemies of God's people. So it was necessary that all the people of Israel were not distracted by what was happening on the right and on the left, even there were miracles and signs, but that their attention was focused on the messenger and the message, that they did not go astray, but could go forward in faith. And if we look at the conclusion, as we have read here in Hebrews, in chapter 11, there it says, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Moses became strong. We know, before that he fled, when he had slain the Egyptian, then retreated. But after the Lord met him, he stood firm before Pharaoh, before the magicians, before the people, before the God who sent him to carry out a commission, and he did not go away empty-handed. But it was always by faith. The word faith is put first everywhere here. By faith, Abraham obeyed the call. By faith, he settled. By faith, he received. Not in your faith and in my faith, but in the faith that comes from the Word of God. And Word of God is divine revelation. Word of God is speaking to you and to me. And when we read and speak of faith here, it cannot be other than that God spoke to all these men, made known to them what it was all about, and then they were able to act on it in faith. That is how it was with all of them. And here comes this one statement that is reported about Enoch. Here it is written, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. We hear a lot about the rapturing faith at this time, and we too will be raptured by faith alone, by faith in the promise God has made to us for this time. He has not brought us out to leave us somewhere. He has brought us out in order to lead us in, out of everything human, into the divine, out of this world, into that world. But then there's something written here about this text that I would like to read. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. So he was pleasing to God, a man like you and me, of flesh and blood, walked this earth many years, and he walked with God and had the testimony that he was pleasing to God before he was caught up. God must also give us this testimony by grace. It must be given to you and me. Rapturing faith is not a thing that hangs in the air or floats in a vacuum, but a thing that is anchored in the revealed word that has become a living revelation to you and me. And no man need to be troubled as if the rapture depended on him or on his interpretation or understanding of what God has spoken. It is a matter between God and the individual, between you and God, between me and God. And this testimony can only be given to us by the Holy Spirit. And you know, I noticed a word, because we are just speaking about this. It's in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Here we read, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." Especially these two thoughts. If our heart does not condemn us or convict us, if we read carefully, we realize that it is a very personal thing between you and your God, and between me and my God. Here it is not said, "Beloved, if any man does not condemn us," but "if our heart condemn us not." Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. The judgment of men is not called for here at all. Your own heart, your own conscience, over which no one can determine, but this is a thing between you and your God. And you know, when you enter the hour of death, then the very serious question runs through you. Then all fun is over. Then all indifference is over. All flippancy is gone. When you reckon with going out of time into eternity at any moment, then the matter becomes more serious than it is now when we listen here, or whether we bring the word, or whether we just take it in. But then the matter becomes really serious. But thanks be to our God that he has brought about a whole work, a perfect redemption, not half a thing. He has also overcome death so that it is no longer a horror for us. Absolutely not. If it is anything, then it's a dead scarecrow about which one need not dwell at all. For a believer, death is absolutely no horror, only a passing out of time into eternity. And this not with fear or despair, but with a deep joyfulness wrought by the Spirit of God. And this just has to be. Not only that we say it, but I had the great privilege to go through it once and also to experience what goes on in the heart and in the thoughts of a person in such hours, what all passes by like a film, the whole life in seconds, and the only question that remains spontaneously at that moment is, Lord, how do I stand before you? And no one can take that for himself. It has to be given to him by God. And when we heard the songs and also sang about the glory of God, then I simply have to remember that such an experience with a person will remain until the last day here on this earth. A glory of God that cannot be described waits for you and waits for me. The Lord himself has said, I go to prepare a place for you and come again to take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He has made that promise to you and to me. So when we look into the scriptures, then comes faith, confidence, hope, then we are built up and strengthened. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, not if we are condemned by believers or unbelievers, but our heart. Our heart is the indicator, and the law of God is taken by the Spirit of God to convict or condemn us. We can also read this in the Gospel of John in chapter 16, that the Spirit of God convicts us and leads us into all truth. Here it says in John 16 from verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me, of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. A most wonderful word. All this the Holy Spirit reveals to you and to me, to the people who are destined to become believers. Not one thing that is of divine origin can we reveal to one another. The Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And the Holy Spirit basically reveals everything from beginning to end. There is no other way, no other possibility. We can talk to each other as human beings about God's Word, but the meaning must be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. We can read Brother Branham's sermons and say, here he has spoken this, here he has spoken that, and both are true. But unless What he has uttered is transfigured to us by the Spirit of God. We have only the letter without the revelation of the Spirit to show us the connections and also bring them together. For not only has it been said or preached, written and duplicated on tape, all that is part of it, but we will come tomorrow, God willing, to the subject that has just been laid on my heart since we were in Jerusalem, and we will talk about it. I already said something about it in Zurich, and God willing, we will also talk about it tomorrow. It is the matter of Moses. The veil of Moses hangs over them as often as Moses is read. The veil of the man whose word and revelation that God has given him, it is hidden from them, and the veil of Moses hangs over them to this day. And we will see that the veil of Christ also hangs over men unless they receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, so that the veil may be taken from them. But there are things that we see and realize in the Old and New Testament that only the Holy Spirit can reveal. And only in Christ can all these things be known in the right way. Now, just very briefly on this word in Hebrews about faith. It cannot be said enough about it, but it cannot stop there. Brother Branham had the chorus sung before every service in which he preached, "Only believe, only believe." And then he would inwardly set himself to give complete faith to the Word of God, that God would fulfill His promises, confirm His Word, that He would stand by it. He gave no room at all to any other thought. And now, in the last sermon that we are translating, a man wanted to bring him down, who wrote TB or something else on his prayer card. And he didn't have this disease at all. And Brother Branham, very exhausted, he says to the man, "Listen, you don't have anything at all. You can go on." And this man says, "But I have TB and so forth. Couldn't you read it on my card?" And Brother Branham says, "Yes, then come. Let's see again." "No," says Brother Branham, "you have nothing. You are healthy." And then this man unbuttons his jacket and speaks to the congregation and says, "Now I've caught him. Now I've exposed him," and started making a commotion there. And when he was finished with that, Brother Branham suddenly says, after he got quiet and got the revelation, "There sits your wife with a man and his wife. You were consulting together at a table last night that you would do this today." And on the table was a green tablecloth. And the man in the meeting jumped up and shouted, "This is the plain truth." And Brother Branham turns to the man who was trying to fool him and says, "Receive your TB and go home with it." You can't do that with God. God is a holy and a true God. And even with the gifts of God, you have to be careful what you do with them. Otherwise, we can get hurt. Here, it is about faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Who can believe? Only the person to whom God has spoken. And how does God speak? By His Word and by His Spirit. And I'm quite honest in this. You can trust the Word of God much more than an audible voice. Absolutely. That remains eternally. The Word of God is the Word of God. It is written by God, legitimized and confirmed. What you and I hear may be so, but it need not be so. If everything were, as people sometimes say it is, what God has spoken to them, then God would have to work overtime to deal with all those people and tell them all the little things that I wouldn't even say. That would be too stupid for me. God speaks in holiness, in truthfulness, and this not every day and every hour, but only when it is really necessary. But through His Word, He speaks to us every time it comes to us, right or not. And that is the surest speaking of God that there is on this earth. And if this speaking of God is still made alive to us by the Spirit, then we too can say, did not our heart burn when He spoke to us? Here we see how men of God, like Moses, by faith he grew up. By faith he refused to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith he took all these things upon himself. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. You know, if Moses had not done this ordinance in complete conviction and faith, the blessing would have failed. One cannot simply perform a ritual act in the kingdom of God. Every action in the kingdom of God must be connected with faith. When we take the Lord's Supper as such that we take, that can pass us by without effect. But if we take it in faith and look to Golgotha and celebrate the Lord's Supper in remembrance of what happened there, then sinners can still be saved and the sick healed and God's people blessed in the process. Everything must be done in faith, not just an action we perform, but something we do in faith, in obedience, because God has commanded it. Faith and obedience go together. Moses believed what God had told him. Let each family slaughter a lamb, put the blood on the three doorposts, and the destruction angel will not be able to do any harm. Moses believed, and because he believed, he obeyed, and because he obeyed, he passed on the command. And all who believed his command, which was God's command, did as they were told, and they were preserved. Not one of them could say, wait a minute, I'm going to pray if God confirms it to me. You know, there are sometimes over-faithful believers to whom you can say something very clear, and then they answer, but I have to ask the Lord first if He will say yes, if He will reveal it to me. You know, there are people who still want a revelation about things that have already been clearly revealed. And when God sends a prophet, reveals His Word and His will gives instructions, who are we to say, yes, Lord, that should be clear to me. Whether it became clear to these people or not, to them it was a divine command, and they acted on it, and God confessed to it and preserved them. By faith, we read here, he left Egypt without fear of Pharaoh. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. That's it. Faith was connected to the ordinance of God, to the Word of God. Faith has no other connection than with the Word of God. And if we want to believe in the right way, and God gives us the grace to do so, then everything that God has promised in His Word must become reality. Tell me, when has God not kept His Word? When has He ever taken back a promise? God is so faithful, and He stands by His Word, and He says it in the New Testament. Even if we were to be unfaithful, He would still remain faithful, because He cannot deny Himself. Our God is true. It remains true to what He has said, but it must be done in faith. I was surprised when I was about to leave for Zurich on Sunday. All of a sudden, it spoke in my heart, take the anointing oil bottle with you. I never did it until now. And I had finished the service, had prayed in general, without telling anyone who wanted to be prayed for. I just said goodbye to them till we meet again the next Sunday of the coming month. And what happened? Quite a number, about 14, 15 people, came forward, and suddenly a man stands in front of me, and he tells me what moves him and all the needs. And I had already perhaps prayed for 6, 7, 8 people. And when this man says what he has and so forth, suddenly it spoke in my heart, anoint him and consecrate him. And I can tell you, not only was he anointed and consecrated, there was such a consecration upon all of us who were there. And God confessed to His Word. But it has to be done in faith. And I closed my anointing oil bottle again and put it in my pocket without anointing another person with it. I knew in my heart, this is the man, no other before him or after him. And the blessing of God was indeed powerfully present. One must do all things as God puts it into the heart. Here, by faith, not only Moses had faith, he gave the order by faith, and all who acted according to that order experienced the blessing, the preservation of God, and suffered no harm. Not only our Lord Jesus, who gave us the instruction, who Himself did all these things already as they are reported in the Gospels, and told us, as My Father sends Me, so I send you. He has sent us to preach His Gospel. And just be honest, you can perhaps talk about many subjects, but there is only one subject with which the effective power of God is directly connected. And there we can read very quickly in Romans 1 about the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God to those who are being saved. When you talk doctrinally about certain things, certainly God is in the matter and gives his blessing to it. But the effect of the saving power, of the healing power, of God's power of deliverance is manifested there where the full gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. And where it is believed, it is manifested. On the other subjects, we may be blessed. Let me read this verse so that there is no unclarity left. For that would be very bad. You all know the Holy Scripture. Here it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." What is the power of God? The gospel, the word of the cross and of the crucified, this message of victory, the message of grace, and under this message of grace and victory and salvation, we experience the power of God. For the gospel in itself is the power of God. It literally says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." The gospel does not first become the power of God. It is the power of God. For God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself. God entered into fellowship with us. God has established a covenant. God has atoned for sin and forgiven guilt. God has brought forth eternal life through Jesus Christ for you and me by grace. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is good news. That is the power of God. I would almost like to say, this is the power of God that has become effective in all believers. And we have no greater desire than to experience this power of God as it was meant to be experienced at that time. May God bless us all from the riches of his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us worship. Let us stand. We thank you for your mighty word, for all the heroes of faith, Lord, who not only believed a day or two, but it says in the word of God, they have fallen asleep in faith, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise be to your wonderful name. Lord, so we also want to believe until we cross over to you. Hallelujah. O Lord, they did not only believe, and they all fell asleep in faith. They have not seen the promise which thou hast given them, but they have believed it. Hallelujah. Praise be to your name. They have seen it in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to your wonderful name. Continue to be with us, Lord. Lead us also tomorrow and the days that are before us. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.